Are we going?
We are.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Get in, get out, get even. I'm Dave, joined by my co-host, Ryan.
Getting it in.
Getting it in. Always getting it in. That Ryan, that's what we say. Where's Ryan? Oh, probably getting it in again.
Yep.
He's Ryan, I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, get in, get out, get even. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, the mail delivery guy will drive a personalized Mini Cooper to your house to deliver the famous Movies on Up prize package. I think that was that Mini Cooper movie, wasn't it?
Is it The Italian Job?
Yeah. Wasn't that Mini Coopers?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. The movie's The Italian Job. If you know that, mail it to us. This week, Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. Parabellum comes out starring The Rock and Jason Statham as...
The Rock and Jason Statham?
As Hobbs and Shaw. We've done our favorite Rock movies, which didn't go as well as we thought it would. I think that's one of those where like we both say, like, oh yeah, I like The Rock. And then you analyze his filmography and it's like...
No, I like The Rock.
I like The Rock.
But yeah.
not so much The Rock movies. Statham, I think, is a little different. But yes. It's weird. I think we both have weird...
The same movies.
Well, our 1 through 3 is going to be same. Yes. So I can guarantee that.
Perhaps in a different order.
That's where it'll be fun, is like, what's ranked 1 through... I think they'll be pretty close, though. Yes. I mean, within one.
Yeah. Yes.
I fell in love with Statham in his early movies, which are going to be
agreed.
My 1 and 2. And then I kind of followed his...
Oh, doubly agreed. So yeah. We're okay.
Yeah, I think our 1 through 3 are identical.
Yes, at this point they might be.
He's one of those that I really liked. And, you know, Nick Moran's career didn't blow up after Lock, Stock. So I followed Statham. And he's an actor that I've always said, like, oh, I like. And I went through a phase in my life where I will see any Statham movie. But what's weird going...
And he tested that.
But what's going through the filmography is like... His big franchises, Transporter, there's 3 of them. I haven't seen any of them.
I have seen, I think, most of the first one.
There's no reason I haven't. I just haven't watched them. Crank, there's 2 of those that I've heard are really fun. I haven't watched either of those. As a big Jason Statham fan, I haven't seen like his 2 biggest...
outside of the Fast and Furious stuff. I mean, that's a
yeah, and I haven't seen any
franchise.
Of those.
Right, neither of us have done that.
So, like, I haven't seen his big franchise stuff, but I was just mentioning he has these one-title movies, or one-word movies, like Wild Card, Redemption, Safe, Blitz,
Parker.
Chaos, Parker, War.
13.
They all show up, London, Revolver was Guy Ritchie. He has so many movies that weren't like wide releases that just kind of straight to DVD or whatever, and they'll randomly show up on Netflix or Amazon. I'll watch every one of them, but I don't remember all of them. They all kind of blend together, like Chaos and Wild Card and Redemption. One of those I think was really, really good. Don't remember which one, but he's one of those weird ones because I get the appeal. He has that, you know, we're not in an era where Seagal and Van Damme and Lundgren and Sylvester Stallone and them are leading movies. Since like 2000, he's probably been one of the closest.
Tell that
most...
to John Rambo.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, since 2000.
Not to the level. I mean, those guys...
Like
sort of
there's
the
half ones that have come and go.
Yes.
Like The Rock and Statham, yes. I would think are the closest. But even The Rock is hard to classify as that because I think he's doing more comedy stuff. He's not doing
they're
over
not
the top.
R-rated action
yeah.
movies where he's killing a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. So like I think Statham is there's been maybe
he's killing a bunch of dudes.
There's maybe others that have come and gone in that time, but from 2000 until now, he has been the Van Damme. He's been all of them. Speakman. The Perfect Weapon.
Yes. He's
Michael
been
Dudikoff,
all of them.
The American
the Stallone,
Ninja.
The Schwarzenegger, the Speakman.
The American Ninja from American Ninja 3 and 4, who came back with Dudikoff in American 5. I can't
Which
remember.
Which was the one with Cody?
I think that was 4 and 5.
Okay.
Or 3 and 4. I don't know. My brother loved those movies. I always hated those movies. Anyway, we blathered enough about Jason Statham. Ryan, your number 5 favorite Jason Statham. Let's see if we have any crossover in the other two. I know one of them
isn't. I don't think
it.
We do.
The five, my five.
Actually, I know we don't.
I think my five is one of those where it's like Ryan might have thought like, oh, I'll put that on to be mixing it up. So I'm interested if our five is a crossover.
The number five is a franchise movie that didn't mention. There have been at least three of them, all of which I have seen. And you mentioned Stallone, Lundgren.
I haven't seen those either.
It's The Expendables, yes. That is my number five. He's right up there. Jet Li, Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis. These guys have relatively small roles in the movie. Terry Crews.
Liam Hemsworth.
Not in this one. That was Expendables 2, and he was very expendable in that movie. Spoiler alert.
Sorry, Miley.
I love 80s action movies, and Expendables is basically the NBA All-Star version of an 80s action movie.
The 92 Dream Team.
Yes, yeah, basically. What it sets out to do, it succeeds in doing. Not that this movie was particularly difficult to market, but I distinctly remember in the trailer they were teasing a fight between Randy Couture and Stone Cold Steve Austin. So if it wasn't enough to just show you the names, Stallone, Statham, Lee, Lundgren, Mickey Rourke is in this movie. I think they showed Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis. If you were too young to appreciate those names, oh, here's Stone Cold, who was kind of doing the Rock thing a little before the Rock.
He tried.
Not nearly as well as the Rock has done. And then one of the most popular UFC guys at the time, Randy Couture. They were pulling out all the stops. Literally every action hero from the last 30 years. You mentioned kind of that lull after, you know, Rambo and Commando. After those guys kind of went down, Van Damme. Jet Li kind of filled that role for a little while. He had a shit ton. I think he had that war. That was with Statham too, I think. But they basically just got everybody together and gave exactly the kind of movie you would expect these guys to be in. It was the Avengers before we had the Avengers. And even before his Fast and Furious stuff, Statham's resume was good enough for second billing in a movie that featured Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren as active participants. Simply put, 10 years ago, Statham was considered one of the biggest action stars in the world, and he has not slowed down, not one single bit.
My number five, we didn't have crossover with our number five, but here's an interesting tidbit. For the first time in Movies on Up history, I'll say this confidently without researching it. Both of our number five movies written by Sylvester Stallone. My number five from 2013, it is Homefront, written by Sylvester Stallone, directed by Gary Feeder. This is one of those that came out when we were doing news episodes, and that was the thing. Written by Stallone, starring Statham, starring James Franco as a meth head that is after Statham. None of it made sense. Winona Ryder's in there. It seemed like the Point Break of 2013. In a way, it was. It's all this stuff that doesn't make any sense. But it works. It's Jason Statham is the good guy and not the good guy with an edge this time. Like, he's a former DEA agent, so he does have that badassness to him. But he's a father, and he's trying to protect his family from James Franco. And one of my favorite, I love James Franco in this movie. James Franco is ridiculous in this movie. Kate Bosworth is his, she's in there with him somewhere, either girlfriend or wife or sister, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's Florida or meth heads involved, but it's such a ridiculous movie, and Franco gives such a good performance, or good is probably the wrong word, gives such an interesting performance in such an oddball movie. And Statham is like the straight guy in this. He's your hero. Been in the Transporters and those. Like, he always has this like edge to him where, like, yeah, he's the hero, but he plays the anti-hero guy a lot more often than you see him as a legit hero.
I think that's how he kind of started in the Fast and Furious series, right?
He was a villain in one of the movies. He killed
at least one of
them. Han.
Han Solo.
Yeah. He killed Han because they killed his brother. Yeah, I don't know. I know that. Because Han died in Tokyo Drift.
Right.
And then in the one movie, they kill the villain. And then in the post credits sting, it's him driving the car that kills Han and saying, like, I'm be back or something. Because Fast the Furious, Tokyo Drift, I think is takes place after the first five. I don't know.
This is some good stuff. This is the Fast and the Furious explained by people who have never seen it.
I think it takes place after five. But anyway, my number five is Homefront with Jason Statham. And it's just a silly, ridiculous movie that's awesome.
My number four is another movie that you haven't seen, but you would like.
Let me tell you the history of it.
Go ahead. Tell me the history of 2006's Crank, written and directed.
Chev Chelios.
Yes, indeed. Written and directed by Mark Neveldine and Brian Taylor, starring Chev Chelios, Jason Statham, Amy Smart, and Carlos Sanz. Crank is a video game filmed as if it were a movie. The premise is exceedingly stupid. A hitman is given a drug that will eventually kill him in hopes of stopping a gang war. But instead of just killing Statham's Chev Chelios in his sleep, he is injected with, I think that's like the Singapore cocktail or something that's supposed to stop his adrenaline from flowing and eventually cause his heart to stop beating. The only way for Chev Chelios to stave off this inevitability long enough to get his revenge is to do video game stuff. The plot basically gives the movie license to do ridiculous action scenes that have nothing to do with each other other than allow his adrenaline to flow and your main character to stay alive just long enough for him to jump out of a helicopter at the end of the movie. Much like Bait a couple weeks ago, Crank knows exactly what type of movie it is, leans into the crazy, and does not for a second make you believe that this is a serious film. It is serious fun. It's speed. If the bus was a man, and it is awesome.
Yeah, this is one I want to see. This and High Voltage. I think the sequel's even more crazy.
I think it is, and I may have seen it. I'm pretty sure I saw it. But the fact that there is a sequel, if you watch the last 5 minutes of Crank, and I tell you after that,
There's a sequel.
Wait, you mean a prequel? No. No, I don't.
Yeah, it's one of those where I feel like the title could be the plot summary as well.
Yeah.
Like, what's the movie about? Crank. Yep. Oh, okay. Cool. Yep.
Sign me up.
Yeah. My number four, you mentioned Bait. My number four is another shark movie, but minus the grocery stores.
From Shark's too big to fit in a grocery store.
From 2008, directed by John Turteltaub. It is Jason Statham versus Megalodon in The Meg. This is one of those that I was on board for from the moment it was announced. I could care less about Turteltaub as a director, but you give me a Megalodon movie, I'm in for it. I like shark movies. Sign me up. Then you give me Jason Statham versus shark? Hell yeah. Crank it up. I'm into it. This is another movie.
No pun intended.
That, like Bait and like Crank, knows what it is for about 75% of the movie. It is a ridiculous monster movie at the start. This is why I was so amped to see Crawl this year. I want to see Crawl because I love these kind of movies. And The Meg approached it how it should be. There is a spot for these dumb, popcorn, brainless monster movies. And The Meg is that. Statham, they give him this background that doesn't matter. They give him this relationships with characters that they don't matter.
Is he a scientist?
No, he's a diver, which is great because he's a former professional diver.
Of course.
It opens with he's trying to save people. He has to leave some behind because it's a megalodon's about to destroy the boat or the sub, and nobody believes him that there's a megalodon, so he's just out drinking on the beach now. And he comes back to rescue his ex, fall in love with the hot Asian lady and her daughter. It's a fun movie. It's a ridiculous movie.
He falls in love with a daughter too. Whoa.
It's a package deal.
Yeah.
And you're dating a parent, it's a package deal. You can't love one and not the other. But yeah, Bing Bing is in the
commercial.
Bing Bing Lee or Lee Bing Bing, whatever you want to say it. Rainn Wilson, Cliff Curtis, Ruby Rose is in this movie. And she's awesome. She's such a badass. I'm a big fan of her. There's so many people in this movie. And it gives enough time to give them enough character that when the ones that do die, it should matter more. But it's such a dumb movie that it's like you're just waiting for body count. And it delivers to an extent. The climax, how they beat the final Megalodon, is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in a movie.
Do they tase it?
No. It's worse. It's amazing, though. By worse, I mean it's awesome. It's ridiculous. It's everything this movie should be, and it was, but it does kind of falter somewhere near the end before the climax to where it does start pretending it's a real movie, but it's a hell of a good time. It's not winning Oscars. It's a stupid movie, admittedly, but I love it. I love these movies, and as far as these kind of movies go, this was done exactly how it should have been done.
I would say to this point, our movies have all been very much Statham-centric.
Written by Stallone. Yeah.
Yeah. Crank was not. But the number three is not a Jason Statham movie.
But he steals every scene he's in.
Absolutely is. It is A Spy from 2015, directed by Paul Feig, starring people that are not Jason Statham. Melissa McCarthy, Jude Law, Rose Byrne.
50 cent.
Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. We have gone on at length about how much we love this movie, so it is no surprise that it is on our list. It is absolutely hilarious. McCarthy is great, as usual. Her chemistry with Rose Byrne really makes me want to see more of these characters together. We are getting a Spy 2. I am hoping they figure out a way to, spoiler alert, spring Rose Byrne's character from the Slammer, because I want to see her with Melissa McCarthy again. Those characters are great. Peter Serafinowicz shows up at the end.
He's in a couple spots.
Yeah, he's amazing as well. But Statham takes the cake. We've given him a ton of credit for the physicality and the action stuff that he does. This role is played by McCarthy in Spy. She is the Jason Statham. And she commits to it seriously, just like he commits seriously to the jokes in this movie. He's spoofing the kind of characters he usually plays, but there is not a hint of a joke while he's doing it. He gives the intensity that he's known for. When guys like Statham and Michael Shannon do that, and they play their typical characters in a comedy, I love that. I think it's gold, and there's plenty of gold to go around and Spy.
Just some classic Statham. Like, from
the
here on out.
In the hotel, you could just read.
Our three through one are the same. So, I mean, I assume.
They're going to be, because you can change them.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of Ryan, but some great Rick Ford lines from Spy. I won't do the Statham voice because I can't, but just some of these lines. Nothing kills me. I'm immune to 179 different types of poison. I know, because I ingested them all at once when I was deep undercover in an underground poison ingesting crime ring. During the threat of an assassination attempt, I appeared convincingly in front of Congress as Barack Obama. I watched the woman I love get tossed from a plane and hit by another plane midair. I drove a car off a freeway on top of a train while it was on fire. Not the car. I was on fire.
And it said, it's so straight-faced.
With him, like, I make a habit out of doing things people say that I can't do. Walk through fire, water ski blindfolded, take up piano at a late age.
He is great in several spots throughout the movie, but like that last third.
Get your hands off my boobs. I'm saving you.
When he's hanging from the helicopter, I love Rick Ford. And they use him just the right amount. Spy 2 makes me nervous that they're going to give us more of that. I don't need more of it. I just need just enough of the same.
Because it's so and it's such a funny movie. It's not like he's a high spot in a non-funny movie. Like, you see that a lot where, like, oh, the movie fails, but this one dude shows up and he's great. This is a really funny movie, and he just happens to make it funnier. Like, every time he's on screen is so good.
You don't have to wait for the funny Jason Statham part. If he shows up, you're going to get something.
If he opens his mouth, it's hilarious. Like, that's all it is. I love that movie. You want me to just do our number two?
Sure.
And we'll go from there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Our number two, our fours and fives were very Statham heavy. Three, he's more of a cameo. Our one, he's kind of the main dude in an ensemble. And this one, it's more...
The smaller ensemble, at least, around.
Yeah, there. It's an ensemble movie. It's a group of friends. It is from 1998, written and directed by Guy Ritchie. His, I believe, debut.
His feature debut, yeah.
It's Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Hard not to say one of my favorite movies ever. Like, it introduced me to a whole new... I liked crime movies, but in my head, they were one thing, and then this came out, and I realized they can be something completely different, and I loved it. You have the friends, you have the weed growers, the gangsters, the loan sharks.
Big Chris.
It's a great...
Little Chris.
Like, it's a great Guy Ritchie movie. And these the first two movies of Guy Ritchie, I love. And I love that they're these crime movies that are hidden in a comedy, that are hidden with great quirky characters that don't get in the way of anything. And I liked Wes Anderson at this time in his career, but Wes Anderson got in the way of his own movies. Guy Ritchie didn't do that. He just started making movies that I didn't really care about. And I wonder if he would have gone that route to where a Guy Ritchie movie was just too Guy Ritchie for me. I don't know that it could be, because Lock, Stock, and NR Number One, I love so much. And it just, they're so good. Everything about them. And for somebody who doesn't love them as much, I could see how the two could get kind of mixed up. Like, you could probably think of parts from one that are in Vinnie Jones in both of them. Mm-hmm. And I love it so much. And I love this movie. And it really opened my eyes. This and Bottle Rocket really changed everything for me, because I went from, you know, I grew up idolizing Heat and those kind of movies. And then here's, you know, Bottle Rocket and Lock, Stock. And it's like, oh, crime movies. They're crime movies.
With buffoons.
But they're funny. Yeah. And they're great characters that you don't have to feel guilty cheering for. So I just love it. And as far as my taste now, 20 some years later, I will always have a spot in my heart for this movie. I like my number one more.
Yes.
It's a better movie. But as far as like forming Dave and his taste in movies, this one will always hold a higher spot, because it opened up a whole new world to me as far as crime movies go.
And this one gives a very, I mean, from the second we saw Guy Ritchie as a feature film director, we saw a fully realized Guy Ritchie. Like, he hit the ground sprinting. This is what he does. Like it or not, for the most part, outside of your Aladdin and side stuff he's done, this is what a Guy Ritchie movie is. And he's been doing it from Jump Street. The characters in these movies, specifically in Lock, Stock, Statham is with Dexter Fletcher, Jason Fleming, and Nick Moran. And they're kind of just this group of friends who are, I want to say, milquetoast, only because of the people, like you mentioned, the weed growers, the chemists, the gangsters, all the people they meet. They're very much a fish out of water, and they're supposed to be. Statham does kind of blend in with the protagonists here, and I can't say that he so much stood out to me as much as the director did. The writer-director, Guy Ritchie, is just, I love his stuff. Big Chris, I thought, was a great character. It's Vinnie Jones.
The Baptist, Hatchet Harry.
Yeah, like, a lot of really cool nicknames.
Sting.
yeah, Sting, not a nickname, the dude. I loved Vinnie Jones as basically the only guy in the movie that's not trying to steal anything from anyone. He's just trying to do his job. He's a great character. There's a lot of great characters in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, but not quite as many as our number one. That was from 2 years later, also directed by Guy Ritchie, starring Statham, Brad Pitt, Benicio Del Toro, is Snatch. Snatch was actually my introduction to Guy Ritchie, and Statham, for that matter. I saw this movie before Lock, Stock, and I can remember renting it when I was in high school, watching it on a Friday, showing it to all the friends I could muster on a Saturday, and just wearing out the replay button when Boris gets hit by the car. Watched it 20 times. Can't tell you why, other than just as a sight gag, it's amazing. And then taking it back to the store on Sunday and getting Lock, Stock, because at that point, Guy Ritchie had me, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. I love the pacing of his movies, and they seemed like a very close cousin to the Tarantino movies that I have said many times on this show changed what I thought movies could be. These conversations that didn't seem to go anywhere, snappy dialogue. We love Guy Ritchie stuff. We love Shane Black for the same reason. He does a lot of the same stuff, and this is a great example of what that stuff is. Statham does, I think, stick out a little more in this. The faction that he's with, it's just him and Tommy.
He kind of, in a big ensemble movie, he is kind of the lead. Like, yes. Everything centers around him pretty much. But it's hard because it is an ensemble movie. But I feel like Turkish is at the center of everything. So he does kind of have it on his shoulders to carry this ensemble
of
a movie.
I think the narration right from the beginning, like, he's, him and Tommy are the first guys we meet, and he's sort of, it is from his point of view for the most part that we see all of the action. And yes, this is a comedy. It's a heist movie. It's a crime movie. But there is actually some scenes to some emotion in the movie. I mean, Brad Pitt standing in front of the
It's one
caravan.
Of my favorite Brad Pitt performances, yeah. And not just because it's hilarious, but that caravan on fire, that's some of the best acting he's done in his whole career as a movie star. You don't hear him. It's played
you
under
can't
music.
Understand. Oh, yeah.
But it's, oh, my God. Like, it's so powerful, that scene. And it's just so good. And I love Brad Pitt in this movie. Bullet Tooth Tony, Cousin Avi, Boris the Blade, Turkish Bricktop, Doug the Head. Like
Frankie.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's just another one where, like, they're just great characters.
This, like I said, was my introduction to Statham. So whenever he turns in a good performance that isn't just kick, kick, punch, punch, I'm not surprised because I saw him do it in Snatch.
And that's not what he started with.
Right.
Snatch and Lockstock, he's not kick, kick, punch, punch in these movies.
I think he had like a kind of a fight scene. He was not the fighter. That was Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
It was Gorgeous George. That wasn't Statham. But I guess you could see kind of the roots there. And he's had a hell of a career. But yeah, I loved another Guy Ritchie movie he did. Was it Revolver?
The Revolver, yeah.
Which wasn't bad. It didn't quite reach.
It was what I wanted to be, a return to Guy Ritchie movies, yes. And it didn't give me that.
Fair enough. I can't say that I had many also-rans outside of that. I mean, I guess I could put the other Expendables movies as also-rans. The second one had JCVD and Chuck Norris. The third one, I think, added Ronda Rousey and some people. But I do enjoy Statham movies, and the top ones, the 1 through 3, I absolutely love those movies. Snatch is a movie
it's a top 10 movie.
That's
ever
an all timer for
that's,
me. Yeah.
That's an all time top 10 for me. I mean, as far
he's the star of it.
Yeah, exactly. As far as also rans, I had Cellular with Chris Evans. He plays the bad guy in that. And then I saw The First Mechanic because I was still into Statham and Ben Foster. So the two of them together, I'm on board for. I don't know why I've missed The Transporter and the Crank. He shows up in Collateral, like as a small part, but that movie's awesome. London. These aren't ones that I would say that I didn't make them as also-rans, but going through, like, yeah, London, I watched. It was okay. Revolver, Chaos, War, The Bank Job. The Bank Job was solid. The Bank Job was good. That was in prime kick, kick, punch, punch Statham, but it wasn't really a kick, kick, punch, punch movie. Blitz. Killer Elite was kind of garbage. Safe, Parker, like all these one-word titles that just randomly show up. They're watchable. Like, he makes watchable movies if you're into that kind of thing. But yeah, that was our Statham. It's very top-heavy, very, very top-heavy. Our number three was Spy, starring Melissa McCarthy. Next week, she comes back to theaters in a movie a little bit different than Spy. Not as much of a comedy. It's her, Tiffany Haddish, who are great comedic actresses. Elizabeth Moss, they come to the big screen in The Kitchen, about a couple of ladies who take over the crime families when their husbands are incarcerated. So, you know, there were a couple ways we could go next week. I gave Ryan 3 choices because Dora the Explorer also comes out. We went with Widows, Steve McQueen's Widows from a couple years ago. The parallels to The Kitchen. The Kitchen is, they're taking over.
Yeah, the ladies take over the
after they're incarcerated, and Widows, they have to run a heist after their husbands are dead. And we both really liked Widows, so we're going to talk about that next week. If you haven't seen Widows yet, go check it out. It's great, because we're going to talk about it a lot next week, as that's our whole episode. And until then,
keep it up.